to the Lord, all the earth, let him sing. All of my days, I wanna praise. Everybody needs your love.
Good morning, Oasis Community Church. Welcome to another week of Church Online. So thrilled that you're giving up some of your time just to be together. It's so encouraging, it's supporting each other through this season and being able to be together and do church. And so we are going to worship this morning. We're going to sing, tell of God's goodness. We're going to gather around his word. We're going to take communion this morning. So you might want to go and get some juice and some bread, some crackers, anything you can get hold of for us to take communion together. But I want to encourage you this morning and say, wherever you are, whether you feel like you're on a mountaintop, whether you feel like you're in a valley, whether you feel like you're the closest you've ever been to God, or whether you're like a little bit skeptical and don't quite know where or what or who this God is, I want to say you're welcome online with us this morning. And my prayer is that God would make himself known to you and that you would know that you are known by him. And so we're going to come and we're going to sing, and people from our worship team are going to lead us as we sing this morning. And so let me just pray, and then we're going to start to lift up our voice. So, Father God, we thank you. We thank you that we can come. No matter how we feel, we can come and worship and glorify you, because you are the same yesterday, today and forever. You are forever faithful, always loving, consistently there. And I pray right now, we're going to lift your name high, because you alone are worthy to receive all of our praise and worship. And so we lift you high right now. We lift our voice and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Come on, church, let's worship together.
You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Father, we just thank you that we can come before you and worship you and lift your name. Lord, that is your grace and your love that enables us to do that. And Lord, we can do and we can cry out to you, whatever the needs are of each of us that are meeting right now, watching this church online, we can cry out to you. And Lord, your word says that you hear our cry. And so, Lord, I pray right now, whatever the cry is of your people, whether it's one of joy and adoration or heartbreak or pain or need, Lord, I thank you we can cry out to you. And we cry out to you right now. And we know that, God, you hear. And, God, you step in. And, God, you are more for us than we could possibly imagine. And so we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So what we're going to do for the next few weeks during August, we're going to have what we're going to call family time. We're a church that believe in family. We are a family. We're an extended family on mission, seeking to see him, see God step into the everyday stuff of life that we do. And so we're going to have family time, which means we're going to all kind of do kids church together. We're aware that kids are such an important part of our church, and we've been trying to figure out how to do that and with the resources we've got and all that stuff. So we're going to bring in to just this month of August, we're going to bring in 10 minutes each week where we're going to all do kids church together. We're going to have a kids song. You can jump around. If there's no kids in your household, if you're there on your own, don't worry, lose your inhibitions a bit, have a little bit of a dance, just get, find that inner child and just let it loose. And then we're going to gather around a story and do that together as a church, as we encounter Jesus together. You know, the kids do that through the worship that we do. We've just done. Let's step into how the kids can engage with Jesus as well. And you know, I just believe the Spirit of God might just speak to every single one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, through these times where we gather together for family time every Sunday during August. So we're going to have a kids song, and then we're going to gather around a story from Scripture just for the next 10 minutes. And so shake off the dust, let's have a dance, and let's worship with the kids of our church to glorify God together.
You got there. Did you make us some snacks?
Hey, Bouncy. I'm reading my favorite story in the Bible. It's when Jesus said goodbye to his disciples right before he was taken to the cross.
That sounds like a sad story. Why do you like it so much?
I guess it helps me feel connected to those 12 people who Jesus first chose to be his followers.
Yeah, I've always wished I could be one of those guys.
Well, this story tells about a way we can be just as close to Jesus as they were. It shows one thing we can do to be Jesus' disciples too.
Really? But wait, Dot. What does that have to do with snacks?
Just let me tell you the story, Bouncy. You'll see. Jesus knew it was almost time for him to die. But it was also time for a very special holiday.
Like Easter?
It was Easter time. It was a feast called the Passover that God's people had celebrated since Moses' time. Jesus wanted to share this meal with his 12 disciples. He planned to show them how to remember him after he was gone, using the wine and bread from the table.
The snacks! Is that why you have grape juice and crackers?
That's right, Bouncy. Jesus held up a cup, drank it, and said, "This is my blood. It's poured out for you. Do this to remember me." He held up the bread, broke it, and took a bite. "This is my body, broken for you. Do this to remember me." So all his disciples drank and ate.
Dot?
Yes, Bouncy?
This is a sad story. I don't understand why Jesus would want them to remember such a sad day. Jesus dying for us, giving up his body and his blood for us, that's not a memory I like thinking about. Why didn't Jesus tell them to remember the happy times?
They did have lots of happy times. Walking together, telling stories, learning about God. Miracles, but none of that matters if it wasn't for what Jesus did on the cross. His blood had to be poured out. His body had to be broken. It is sad in a way, but it's the most wonderful thing God could ever do for us. That brings it all back to us. We can do this to be just like Jesus and his disciples. It's called the Lord's Supper, or communion.
Dot, you know I'm gonna have to ask what communion means, right?
Communion means to share something, to be close together, to be connected. You know, like in a community. When we take communion with grape juice and crackers, we're showing that we remember what Jesus did. Not by just thinking about how his blood was poured out and his body was broken on the cross, but living like that, doing what Jesus did, being broken and poured out too.
Whoa! I don't want to die on a cross!
Not die how he died, live how he lived. Show that you'll do whatever God says, just like Jesus did. That's how we can have communion with Jesus. That's why we do it.
You know I want to live like Jesus. Can we take communion right now?
It's really special. It's something your parents will want to be a part of. You should ask them first.
Well, Dot, I'm glad we talked about this. I want to be Jesus' disciple, just like those guys in the Bible.
Me too, Bouncy. Jesus wants all his followers to share communion with him and with friends like you.
Hi, everyone. Over the last few weeks, we've been listening to how after Jesus died and rose again, the disciples were so overjoyed that they met up in each other's houses, they shared their food, and took communion together. It was just like a big meal to remind them just how blessed they were. In church, we take communion, which you've just learned about in the video, to remind us just how blessed we are too. And as a family, we like to eat together and let that be the time to remember just how thankful we are to God.
What are you most thankful to God for?
That we've got great next door neighbours and we get to go out as a family.
What are you most thankful to God for?
For my wonderful toys.
Father God, we are so thankful for all that you bless us with great neighbours, with fun family days and so many blessings. And we thank you for this food and bless it to us now. Amen.
Amen.
So how about you think of something each day just before you eat to be thankful to God for? And if you're struggling to be thankful for something, why not remember John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him is not lost, but has eternal life." There's an activity sheet and a colouring sheet on the link in the chat, which you can have a look at. But for now, as a church family, we're all going to have communion together. So kids, if you feel you can take communion with us today, ask an adult to guide you through. And now, together, we're going to take communion.
Thank you.
For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. As we take communion, there's this amazing moment where we look back with such gratitude and praise to God that in Jesus he died for our sins, and those who trust in him, it's not just looking back, but we get to look forward, that one day Jesus will return and he will make all things new, and the dwelling place of God and the dwelling place of humanity will once again be completely united. And so taking communion is both this looking back with thankfulness and praise, and looking forward with hopefulness and joy. So it's a really precious time together. Church, we're going to gather around God's word just in a few moments, but just to let you know that from this week, I think it's on Thursday the 6th, Cara, myself, the family, we're going away for 2 weeks. Really fortunate to be able to get to somewhere with a house that's been empty for a year or so. And so we're going to go there as a family and switch off and just take some time to relax and recharge as a family. So if you want to be in contact with anybody, please, through Connect Groups is the way to do that in our church. There are communities of support and growing together as disciples of Jesus. So please stay in touch with your Connect group, use your WhatsApp and call, and you know, that old fashioned method of using your phone, of ringing people within your Connect group to support each other. If you're not in a Connect group and you want to get in one, please, you can contact us on the email that I'm about to share. But if you want some pastoral care specifically around something, then you can email pastoral@occ-stratford.org.uk. And that will get through to someone in our church who, we've got no one in our church that works full time, so you have to bear with us. It might be a number of days. We will get back to you. We will respond and we'll journey with you and help point you in the direction of others that might be able to help. So we want to know that you are cared for. We love you. But please be a support to each other as well. Keep doing what you're doing of encouraging each other on this walk through this challenging season together. And that's something of what I want to speak into this morning. I want to speak from a really well-known passage this morning, a passage that you may well have shared with other believers. You may have even received it yourself. And it's this passage. It's 1 Peter 5 verse 7. And it says, cast all your anxiety onto him because he cares for you. Other translations say, cast all your cares onto him because he cares. It's a great, great verse. But can I be really honest with you? It's a verse that when I've had it sent to me, however well-meaning the sender, it's been a verse that's probably increased my anxiety rather than released it. Mainly because in isolation, I think these kinds of verses, ones that speak into our emotions, that speak into how we're meant to be, they sometimes put a weight on us that we shouldn't be feeling what we're feeling. You shouldn't have anxiety. Just cast it onto Jesus. And if you cast it onto Jesus and you're still feeling that anxiety, then maybe you haven't cast it enough. Have you got enough faith? Have you prayed, brother? Have you really memorized and claimed this scripture for your own, sister? And I don't know about you, but for me, that anxiety, it just starts to increase because the verse isn't working. And it's not that the verse, because I trust the word of God. So maybe it's me. And my fear and my anxiety can start to increase. But I wonder if we were to actually look at what the word of God actually says. If we understand the context of the verse and apply that meaning, then we might actually see what it's actually saying, what it's doing for our lives. See, context is everything when it comes to the Bible. You can read scriptures and verses in isolation, but they were never written in verses. The little numbers in our Bibles, the chapters, they weren't there originally. There's things going on and circumstances that very real and often painful circumstances that these letters, these books are describing and speaking into. Bible is not written in a bubble. And that's certainly the case for 1 Peter, which was written to Jesus followers who have been dispersed across various locations because they're on the run. They are living in fear because their lives are being threatened because of the extreme persecution that other fellow Jesus followers have experienced simply for believing. So this letter is being written to anxious-ridden Jesus followers who are living in the fear that tomorrow might just be their last. This verse, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, it's part of a whole letter that is addressing a frightened people, those that are experiencing anxiety, which I don't want to minimise this morning. I'm not going to share a one-size-fits-all solution to anxiety, because I don't think the scriptures do that. And for those that have experienced anxiety, it's complex. It can be different for everyone. But I do think that 1 Peter reminds us of some important things in the midst of our most anxious moments. Not the slap on the back and come on, pull yourself together, let's get through this. But something we can carry in and through us in those moments. So let's go right back to the start. 1 Peter verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 1 starts this. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the chosen, to those chosen living as exiles dispersed abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and other places that I'm sure are lovely to go and visit now, but they probably weren't back then. Most scholars agree that this is the Peter, the very same Peter that was called Simon, now known as the Rock. Not the wrestler, not the actor. This isn't the Rock Entertainment. He's just called the Rock. It's almost like a nickname. Jesus says, you're going to be called the Rock. And it was translated into Greek as Petros. And so it became Peter and it became known as his name. But he's known as the Rock, Simon the Rock, Simon the Peter. He's the very one that denied Jesus. He's the very one that saw Jesus crucified on that cross. He's the very one that saw Jesus resurrected. See, I think Peter knows fear. I think Peter knows anxiety. And I think Peter is writing to those chosen ones living in exile. And he's saying, I've been through what you're going through. I'm with you. And there's some stuff that I held on to in those moments that you need to hold on to now. Notice the language, to those chosen. Those that have been forced to live where they don't belong, but you need to remember that you are chosen. Those living in fear, you are chosen. You are still chosen. I love how Eugene Peterson translates that word chosen in the Message version of the Bible. He says, I, Peter, am an apostle on assignment by Jesus, the Messiah, writing to the exiles scattered to the four winds. Not one is missing, not one forgotten. Church, some of you need to hear this today. You might be living in fear, crippled by anxiety, uncertain about what tomorrow holds due to this pandemic, or maybe nothing to do with that, just what's going on in your life. You need to hear, not one is missing, not one of you is forgotten. You see, deep down inside, every single one of us is the need to be known. I mean, we've got some basic needs. Like, basic needs are like food, shelter, rest, safety. But above that, we've got psychological needs. And the foundation of those is relational. To be known, to be loved, to be accepted. And from the very start of this letter, Peter is making it clear as one who says, I have faced anxiety and there's some stuff I had to hold on to in that moment. So those that are facing it, hold on to this. You are not missing to God. You are not forgotten. Circumstances may feel like you are. Feelings may convince you that you are forgotten, that you can't see God, but you need to know he hasn't forgotten you. He sees you. You're not lost to God, even though God might seem lost to you. You shouldn't be lost to God. And we shouldn't be lost to those that follow God. See, even in a church our size, you can exist relatively unknown. Maybe seen, but remain unknown. And church online, I mean, like the online space is such a gift. 10 years ago, we could have never have done this, but we can see each other and talk to each other and chat to each other. But we can also keep at a safe distance. Because maybe we fear being found out that if I was really known, I'm not sure they'd stick around. If you really knew what I struggled with last night, if you really knew what I said the other day, how I behaved, if you really, really knew what was deep down inside of me, I don't think you'd hang around. And so in that space, in that darkness of our mind, our anxiety starts to grow. We fear being exposed, being rejected. And the anxiety grows. We fear being found out by God, by others. And so we live to prove to everyone around us that we're doing okay. And what can happen is our life becomes a performance. Look at social media, the greatest platform for performing your life. And we do it with God. But God's love for you is not based on your ability to perform. Which, let's be honest, it's not just about Christians, about everybody. And let me not pick on you. Let me give myself as an example, because maybe you're a lot more spiritual than me and you don't struggle with this stuff. But I'm a pastor, and it means that there's an expectation, or I believe there's an expectation on me to be a certain type of person, that the pastor's got his life together, doesn't struggle with anything, floats 3 foot off the ground. It's like lockdown has been a breeze. His family have just flourished in it. And it's been mentally for the pastor, he's just been in a great space every single day of his life. And I can end up living that role because of the perceived expectation. And I fear being found out that I'm not like that, that I am a human being. And so what happens is I can end up performing that role. And when I do, it is so exhausting. Anxiety increases, life becomes way too much. And everybody else's life on top of that, it's a load that no one can bear. Now, for those that want to change websites and go to a church with a much more spiritual pastor, I understand that. But one of the values we have here, and we don't just talk about this value, we live it, is authenticity. And I need to share my reality, because it's not just what you go through, it's what we all go through. And it's not just the followers of Jesus that struggle with performing. Think of the people around you, the presentation of being the perfect family, the model employee, someone with no struggles. But living like that, no one can sustain. And it actually, I believe, stops God's love invading our hearts, because I wonder if sometimes I don't take my fears and anxieties to God because I doubt that he actually cares. That I see all about my life that would lead others and probably God to not want anything to do with me. Yeah, God cares, but about that bit, I'm not so sure. And you see, speakers like me, we've preached a message that says that Jesus died for all your sin and all your error and all your wrong that keeps God from you. And he died for those things, which is totally true. But I wonder if in our heads we start to think, oh, all the sin and the error and the wrong, Jesus died for that because it keeps me from God. And so I've still got that stuff in my life, so it must keep me from God. But what you need to know is that the cross, as Jesus died, it took all sin. I believe past, present, future sin all converged in one moment and was placed on Jesus. And he died to it. He says, it is now finished. And he takes it to the grave. He fully dies in that grave. And your sin and your error die with him. But for those who trust in him, spoiler alert, something happens 3 days later. He rises. Sin and death and error and wrong remain in the grave, and he dies and rises over and above it. And death no longer has its sting, and our sin and our error and the impact of that no longer has power for those that trust in what Jesus has done in that moment. So you can know that all your sin, whatever you have done, are doing and will do, it has been dealt with if you trust in what Jesus has done. It is now dead in the grave. So you can know that even in your worst moments, when you think God couldn't be close to you, when you fear being found out, God's looking going, that's not who you are. You've been chosen. You're now hidden in Christ. It's not who you are. I love you. I accept you. You are not forgotten. You are not missing. He cares. And because you've been chosen, live like you've been chosen. But also, live for those around you that God has chosen. So choose to live like the one who has chosen you. And Peter, in this letter, he's going on to say, don't forget this is who God is, but don't forget what the community around you is to reveal. When you're going through that anxiety, see, Peter goes on later in chapter 1 saying, if this is what God is like, then we who follow this God should be like this. In verse 22, he says, now that you've cleaned up your lives by following the truth, love one another as if your lives depended on it. Other translations say, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. I read that and it's like, oh, that's sweet, isn't it? Love each other earnestly from a pure heart. But that language, earnestly, it's the word that's used elsewhere in the Bible for when Paul is praying earnestly whilst being kept in a prison cell, praying because his life depended on it, because he was facing a brutal punishment and torture. And he is praying because his life depended on it. Love each other like that. Love each other like your life depends on it, Peter says. To those that are anxious over the very fact that their lives are in danger, Peter writes, love each other like your lives depend on it. I think that's something the people whose lives hang in the balance, that's something they can understand. So way before we get to 1 Peter 5 verse 7 of cast all your anxiety onto God, We have Peter telling this community of Jesus followers that are on the run, living in fear that they are forgotten, you need to know that you are known by God. Not one is missing, not one is forgotten. As you're facing what you're going through, then he reminds them that we are called to live to reflect who God is. You are known and loved by God, and you are known and loved by God's people. That when we truly understand the character and nature of God, it is not just about information, it's about transformation. Truly knowing who God is not simply enough to know him. In fact, I'd say it has to go beyond. And the way we truly know is when we actually start living that stuff out. That to know God is loving, to know him as faithful, to know him as holy. It's not enough to know that stuff. The book of James reminds us, don't just be hearers of the word. It's not enough. The proof is how we reflect that image to those around us, to the world. How we love those whom God loves. How faithful we are, that when we say yes, we turn up and we do what we've said we're going to do. That we are there. That we are a faithful people, a holy people, set apart, living as those that stand out for Jesus. Why? Because how we live reflects the reality of what we see as God. How we see God is evidenced in how we live our lives. That is the way we learn the character and nature of God. John 1 reminds us, our first letter of John reminds us that God is love. And in verse 7, he says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Put it into practice. Love each other like your lives depend on it. It's evidence of what you actually think about God. Not that you've intellectually start to understand what the scriptures say, but you have actually got it deep down and it started to permeate the woof and the walk of your life. Love each other like your lives depend on it. Love like God, who loves like his life depends on it. And in case the point hasn't been made, I think 1 Peter 2, 3 and 4 all emphasize this way of living that puts into reality the truth of who God is. As a community, we reflect the God where not one is forgotten, not one is missing. And not just you, but each of us together doing that, together alongside each other. So we don't need to live out of fear of being found out by God or each other. We don't need to perform in order to be accepted. We have been chosen. He cares, each one of us. And if we truly have experienced the reality of what it means to be chosen by God, to know God cares, how much more should we look like that as a community towards each other? And it's this context that we get to 1 Peter 5, verse 7, which actually starts in 1 Peter 5, verse 6. But for some reason, a lot of translations, they separate it with a verse. Some even break it into two sentences, but in the original language, it is not. It is one sentence, and it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him, because he cares for you. Casting all your anxiety onto him, because he cares for you. Humble yourselves. I've checked it out in the original language. It is plural. This is something that has to be done together. So everything I'm about to say is in the context of being together, of doing this alongside other Jesus followers. Humbling yourselves. It's pretty strange, isn't it? Talking about anxiety, but we now talk about humbling ourselves. It's like, for many, the idea of being a humble actually increases anxiety. I mean, what's it mean to be humble? It means we're admitting that you've made a mistake, saying sorry. It means when you're weak or sick or inadequate for something. It's about not being too proud to ask for help. In other words, in all its forms, humility risks the performance being exposed, losing face, showing that you are not what you're presenting. Humility is the risk of not being noticed, not being appreciated, not being praised, not being rewarded. And being unnoticed and being unappreciated is painful. Losing face is painful. Being made little of is painful. Therefore, humility actually can cause anxiety. So what's going on? The command, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. That phrase alone, man, it's a bit of anxiety coming up. It can be said of humility, it's not thinking less of yourself, but thinking about yourself less. Who's the focus of these verses? In the midst of talking about anxiety, God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, casting all your cares on Him, God, because He, God, cares for you. The focus is God, and the connection is this. Before you can put yourselves humbly under God's mighty hand, you have to put your anxieties confidently in His hand. Humble yourselves. And one way you do that is by casting your anxieties onto God. The verse doesn't say cast your anxieties onto God because then He's going to take them away. It says together seek humility. And one of the ways you will do that is by being willing to cast your anxiety onto God. The evidence that you're humbling yourself is that you are willing to bring all the fear, all the anxiety to God together. One of the evidences that we understand just how much God loves us and cares for us and how powerful He is in our life. Remember, it's living it out, not just knowing it. Is that together we're willing to bring our anxiety to God and trust Him with it. See, for some, that phrase, the mighty hand of God, that brings fear and anxiety in and of itself. But that's not what Peter's saying here. In verse 6, the humility Peter commands under God's hand is the peaceful, confident humility that comes because we have cast all our anxiety onto God, because we've got the confidence that He cares for us, because we know He knows us. And we know that not one is not forgotten, because of the love we've got for each other is evidence that God loves you. I love the two images side by side in this verse. Humbled and lowly under the mighty hand of an infinitely holy, powerful God. Confident and peaceful because God cares for us and carries our anxieties. See, before we bow down and step under Him, we have to cast the burden of our anxiety onto Him, knowing that He is powerful enough to deal with it, but caring enough to take it. He's the focus. Why? Because God wants to show just how powerful He is in your life and in the lives of each one of us, that He can bear the burden. So together we seek God. And actually, in those moments of anxiety, we don't need people around us that are so full of themselves that they give us a verse. They've memorized this scripture and it'll really help you. Be strong, pull yourself together. What we need is someone willing to be humble enough to think less of themselves than to share that verse and instead live that verse, walking alongside me, praying with me, reminding me they've been where I am right now. God was with them. And they couldn't see it, but not one was forgotten, not one was missing. And I'm going to show you that God by the fact that you're not forgotten to me and you're not missing to me. And together we can cast all our anxiety onto God because we know He cares. It means humility from the one that's carrying anxiety, letting people in. It's the act of humbling ourselves together. And it's in together in that space we start to see God do something. It's in that space that we start to see God bring a healing. It's in that space, as we humble ourselves under the mighty, powerful hand of God, that we cast all our anxiety onto God. It's all part of the whole. It's all one sentence. And as we do it together, as we humble ourselves, there's an emotion that comes with that. See, a synonym of humility is contentment. To be content is to be humble. Accepting where we are, what we've got, or because you start to see who God is and what God is towards you because of those around you revealing that. And so the fear of who I am before God and who I am towards others and what that circumstance might do to me and other situations can cause me starts to lose its power. Trust me, I've not got this nailed, but I know the opposite is true. When I don't humble myself before God, when I live like everything depends on me, when I perform as a pastor and seek to live up to the perceived expectations of everybody around me, when I listen to the inner voice more than the voice of God, when I start to live in isolation, fear and anxiety all start to flood in. And it's the pride. It's me thinking, I need to solve my problems. It's about me, my world, all my issues, and everything starts to cave in and it starts to spiral down. It's the opposite of humbling yourselves before God in order for Him to exalt you at a proper time. It's about me exalting myself before God when I think it's right, because I'm listening to me. I'm seeking to be all I need to be, but I could never be enough. So what happens? It spirals down. But that's not the picture. Without God, we cannot live that life. But instead, 1 Peter 6, going into 1 Peter 7, in the context of a group living in fear on the run, being reminded that they have been chosen. God has displayed his deep affection for them, so they should show that love in the light of everything around them towards each other, displaying the caring love of God to each other. And so I want to encourage you this week. I want to encourage you. You're not called to do this life on your own. God has not forgotten you. He sees you. But how about as a community, we start to show how much God has seen us by actually how we love each other. And we risk humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, the powerful hand of God, as together we cast all our anxiety onto him because he cares. And how do we know he cares? It cycles back round because we're willing to humble ourselves together under the powerful, mighty hand of God. That is what this verse is about. Not a single verse in isolation that we put on a fridge and wonder why it doesn't work. So church, I want to encourage you this week. I want to encourage you as we're going to sing in a few moments. Spirit of God, will you just fall in every life that's engaging with this online service right now? Will you fall? Reveal that you know us, you accept us, that we are forgiven, we are loved. As we surrender to you, you pour out that peace in our life. Will you do it right now, God? But also it requires us to actively humble ourselves together, not just in isolation, but under your powerful hand that can cope. We bring all our anxiety to you because we know you care, because we see it in the lives of those around us that follow you and trust you. They care, they reflect your love and your character and your nature. Let it be. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. He goes before me. See your glory. within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory, my victory. Your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me.
Hallelujah, I am not alone. Such truth, church, you're not alone. Not one is missing, not one is forgotten. You are known by God, you have been chosen by God. I want to encourage you right now, if you've never given your life to Jesus, this is a moment you can do it. Not everything might make sense, but right now you can simply just cry out to God and say, God, I choose you right now. That Jesus, you died for me. I thank you that because of your life, I get to live and experience life. And so I give my life to you right now. And if you're praying, if you're for the first time maybe speaking out to God, I want to encourage you, just get in touch with us. You can email in a few moments. I'm going to give an email address. You can email that email address. Because you're not alone. You've been chosen by God. And in the context of being together, as we humble ourselves before God, and we show that we understand that God cares, one way is that together we cast all our anxiety onto him, trusting each other as the reflection of God's love in each other's lives. So church, I'm praying that you have a blessed week. This coming week, as a family, Cara, myself and the kids, we're going away for 2 weeks. Just need some family time just to be able to switch off and enjoy time together. So we're going to be away from, I think it's the 6th to the 20th of August. And so pastorally, connect groups, if you're in a connect group, please, this is about being together, and everything I've spoken about today, one of the ways we can do that is through connect groups. Such an important way we can do that. So please keep in contact with your connect group, encourage your connect group to be praying with each other and for each other. If you're not in a connect group and you want to be, then you can email, an email address will come up at the end of the service, or you can email address I'm about to say right now. But if you've got any pastoral needs that can't be done with in connect group, or you're not part of a connect group, then you can email pastoral@occ-stratford.org.uk, and someone will be in contact with you in the coming days after that email has been received. But if you want to be part of a connect group, please email that email address. We'd love to be able to link you up. We can do that in the coming weeks and get you connected. But church, know this week, as we humble ourselves together, we humble ourselves By trusting in God that He cares for us, we're able to give all our anxiety. So I pray that this coming week would be a week where together we experience the freedom that God gives as we trust Him and know that He cares, and we can give all of our fear, all of our worry, all of our anxiety to Him. And so I pray this would be a week where you know that the Son sets you free, and who the Son sets free is free indeed. Have a blessed week. Amen.